Hey, Corey here. We've had an influx of new listeners, and so I just want to make sure that if you are new to the podcast, you don't just jump in and start listening to these daily episodes, which we've been doing. Please go back and listen to the first at least 8 episodes so you have an idea of what Collapse is, what it is that Corey is talking about. Also, if you've been with us for a while and you're enjoying the content, please join us on Patreon. We would love to see you there. There's a link, as always, in the description. Unless you've been living under a rock, it is very clear to you that Donald Trump and his administration hate women. In last Friday's episode, we dipped our toes into a couple of things happening in the Trump administration in regards to women's rights, to bodily autonomy, and how that is being rapidly decreased and those rights taken away. Today, I wanted to look into a few more cases specific to this realm, as well as some of the other ways in which the Trump administration is actively working against women. I mentioned in that episode the impact that The Handmaid's Tale had on me and my wife as we watched that, and then seeing the parallels to that as the Trump administration has sort of got underway this last year. I have no doubt that if the Trump administration could, they would do everything in their power to bring women down, to oppress them, to objectify, to take away their rights, etc., etc. Luckily, this country was built on a foundation, at least of the idea of equality, and it's taken a long time to even get where we are, and there's still a long way to go. Women in this country are not treated fairly. They are not paid fairly. There already exist laws and customs, cultural ideas, etc., that do a disservice to women and make it harder for women to enjoy the same quality of life and freedom that men do. So for the Trump administration to come in and start to make these threats, these changes to worsen that culture, is a real threat, and it's something that needs to be addressed. In this month, I guess by the time you're hearing this, it will actually be the last day of International Women's Month. So I want to wish every woman out there a happy International Women's Month, and I hope we can continue fighting to get you everything that you deserve. With that, let's jump in. So to start, there's a few different articles I'm going to highlight. These were compiled in a post that I saw. This was actually in one of the articles from last week. Someone had made a comment compiling these different elements. So some of them are newer, some of them are older, and by older I just mean last year, you know, in the last 10 months or so, but all highly relevant. So the first is from theguardian.com. It's titled, U.S. Moving Pregnant Immigrant Girls to Texas to Avoid Providing Abortions. This is talking about how in the event that a girl is detained by ICE, if they are impregnated or already pregnant, then they are actually moving them from wherever they were located. Let's say the detention center was in New York. They would move them to Texas because in Texas, it is illegal to have abortions. So they're essentially forcing these women to have children, taking away their rights to an abortion, and they're moving them from state A to state B in order to do so. Ex-officials call transfer of unaccompanied girls as young as 13, many pregnant due to rape, a human rights violation. And yes, I said women, and I should clarify that this article specifically talks about children. It says, all unaccompanied immigrant children who are pregnant, many by rape, are being moved to a single facility in Texas in order to avoid providing abortion services in a significant human rights violation. Unaccompanied minors who lack immigration documentation are at high risk for trafficking and other forms of harm, so they fall under the care of the Office of Refugee Resettlement, which previously had facilities across the country capable of caring for children under the age of 18 who are pregnant. Since July, more than a dozen pregnant children have been moved to a single facility in the small town of San Benito along the South Texas border. The children kept in Texas are as young as 13, and about half are pregnant because of rape, according to a joint investigation by the Texas Newsroom and the California Newsroom. In Texas, abortion is banned in nearly all circumstances, including rape and incest. The move amplifies existing concerns about reproductive health care and immigration detention centers, including allegations over the lack of appropriate health care for pregnant people, separation of nursing parents and infants, and forced sterilization in immigration facilities. The total disregard for the rights of pregnant and nursing detainees is a dramatic violation of international law and public health practices, ensuring consensual medical treatment. The typical age of pregnant unaccompanied minors is 15 or 16, though they can be even younger. They're not grown women, they're little girls. Because of their young age, many of them will be comparatively high-risk pregnancies who need specialized care. Yet it's not clear whether the South Texas facility, which is hours from major cities, is equipped to offer that care. Now, this stat is terrifying. It says the government does not track the prevalence of sexual assault experienced by unaccompanied girls under the age of 18, but other organizations estimate the rate to be between 80 and 90%. Reproductive justice ensures not just the right to terminate a pregnancy, but also to remain pregnant if a patient so chooses, and to do so under safe conditions for the pregnant person, as well as for the fetus and subsequently the child. Several of the girls have given birth and are being detained in the Texas facility with their infants, though unnamed sources told the Texas and California newsrooms that the facility has a history of inadequate care. Now, this article does not talk about, it talks about the fact that many of these girls are raped. It does not bring up, and I don't know the numbers on this, how many of them were raped inside of the facilities themselves, whether because they were detained with men or because the guards or other people who are supposed to be caring for them are taking advantage of them. Moving on, West Virginia prosecutors will charge women who have a miscarriage starting at 9 weeks. Felony charges would be brought following an involuntary abortion or miscarriage. This one is absolutely atrocious. This article was posted about 10 months ago. This is out of the state of West Virginia, and it investigates how prosecutors said that they would charge women as soon as 9 weeks for miscarriages if they disposed of the remains themselves. Now, I obviously cannot speak to this from the perspective of a woman, though I can say that my wife and I went through a miscarriage with our first pregnancy, and I believe it was probably right around this time. We didn't know for sure, but it was likely around that 8 to 11 week period. The doctors to us at the time recommended, for sake of comfort, to carry out the miscarriage at home, and that the simplest and cleanest way was to simply do it in the toilet and flush it there. You know, what an incredibly emotional and tragic time it was for us, and especially for my wife. And so to consider the fact that these prosecutors are talking about going after women in similar circumstances is insidious. It is evil. They do it under the guise of saying that you're improperly disposing of human remains. But in truth, it is to punish women for something that to many of them is already incredibly tragic. Anyway, this one hits home and makes me extraordinarily angry. On 404media.co, it says a Texas cop searched license plate cameras nationwide for a woman who got an abortion. Earlier this month, and this was from May of 2025, so about 10 months ago, authorities in Texas performed a nationwide search of more than 83,000 automatic license plate reader cameras while looking for a woman who they said had a self-administered abortion, including cameras in states where abortion is legal, such as Washington and Illinois, according to multiple data sets. And imagine which cameras they used. Of course, it was Flock cameras, which we have talked about multiple times on this podcast. With all of the things happening around the country, to consider that that much resources was being put towards finding a woman who had an abortion to do a nationwide manhunt, or woman hunt, I should say, is truly despicable. According to 19th News, Texas passes bill banning abortion pills from being mailed to the state. The legislation lets private citizens sue people who mail abortion medications to Texas. It offers a blueprint for state lawmakers trying to stop their residents from circumventing abortion bans. It basically allows for you to create a privatized snitching system in which people are rewarded for snitching on their neighbors, friends, or family who have abortion pills mailed in. One quote that I found interesting in the article, it says, quote, "This bill does not protect women, children, or families," State Senator Carol Alvarado, a Democrat, said during the legislator's debate. "It deputizes Texans as bounty hunters. It replaces compassion with suspicion." Another article on this same topic, APnews.com, mentions that the law would be the first of its kind in the U.S. and add another layer of abortion restrictions in Texas, which has some of the toughest in the country and already bans nearly all abortions. Under the measure, Texas residents could sue those who manufacture, transport, or provide abortion-inducing drugs to anyone in Texas for up to $100,000. Women who receive the pills for their own use would not be liable. Under the bill, providers could be ordered to pay $100,000, but only the pregnant woman, the man who impregnated her, or other close relatives could collect the entire amount. Anyone else who sues could receive only $10,000, with the remaining $90,000 going to charity. So hey, ruin someone else's life, snitch on whoever it may be. You could have $10,000 and have $90,000 to a charity. Gotta tell you, if you are looking for reproductive health, Texas is not the place to be. Now, according to the ACLU, Trump is trying to reverse crucial strides in women's rights movement. This Women's History Month, the ACLU looks at how the Trump administration is pushing policies designed to keep women at home. It talks about a few different policies Trump is pushing. It says, already the Trump administration is enacting policies that limit women's ability to work. It has targeted the Women's Bureau of the Department of Labor and other federal programs that help women get high-paying jobs in male-dominated industries. Meanwhile, protections against sex discrimination in the federal contractor workforce were overturned following an executive order, which ended anti-discrimination policies in the federal government. The Department of Defense also shuttered a committee that expanded women's roles in the military and is now undertaking a review of women in ground combat positions. The infrastructure that supports working women is also under attack. After Trump attempted to dismantle Head Start, a child care and early education program for children from low-income families, the Women's Rights Project sued, blocking the action. Citing unverified fraud claims, the administration has restricted federal funds for child care, shifting caregiving responsibilities to women and inhibiting their labor market participation. The Women's Rights Project recently filed a public records request to force the administration to disclose the extent and reasons behind these restrictions. And for professionals who already provide care for seniors and people with disabilities, most of whom are women of color, a proposed regulation would strip them of minimum wage and overtime protections. Now millions risk greater economic insecurity and a widening gender wage gap. It then goes on to talk about how the administration has also targeted women's reproductive freedom, which we've just discussed. Trump has approved defunding Planned Parenthood. They're laying the groundwork for severe restrictions on a medication commonly used for abortion and miscarriage care. These restrictions, if adopted, could stop women from accessing this medication via telemedicine. They have also changed or rescinded policies that protected abortion access, such as abortion care for veterans and out-of-state abortion care covered under Medicaid. We can talk about the SAVE Act again. This is crucial for voting rights for women. One article under commoncause.org talked about how the SAVE Act would make it harder for 69 million women to vote. It would require people to show documents like a passport or birth certificate to register to vote. Millions of Americans don't have those documents easily available. More Democrats than Republicans have a passport, interestingly. The law would especially impact married women whose birth certificates don't match their current last name. The bill would create new barriers for millions of eligible voters, including as many as 69 million married women who won't be able to vote if the laws were passed. This article, Common Cause, lists seven different ways that Trump is making the lives harder for women. It says, rising costs and budget cuts hit women and families the hardest. Lack of birth control and cancer screenings put women's health and safety at risk, making emergency pregnancy care more dangerous. ICE violence is hurting women and families disproportionately. Rolling back protections for trans women has dangerous consequences, and cutting reproductive health care around the world. I will note that is not just in the U.S., right? It talks about around the world. So much of what many of the organizations have done internationally that were cut by DOGE and other cuts have severely taken away funding that was used to help with reproductive health care all over the world. It says the move has directly led to the closure of more than 1,000 family planning clinics and reduced access to contraception, maternal health care, and HIV prevention worldwide. That article ends by saying, during Women's History Month, it's worth asking what it really means to support women. While President Donald Trump has claimed he loves women and wants to protect them, the policies pushed under his administration tell a different story. At Common Cause, we know that protecting women's rights starts with protecting our democracy. When everyone can vote freely, hold leaders accountable, and have a say in the decisions that shape their lives, women are better able to advocate for themselves, their families, and their futures. I want to end this episode by thanking all of the women in my life and the ones who are not in my life, but who I know are out there making great impacts. Thank you for what you do. I'm sorry for what you have to put up with. I want to find ways to be a better advocate for women and hope to do right by my wife and my daughters. Thanks for being here. We'll see you tomorrow.
Neulich bei der Versicherung.
Bahnhof.
Bahnhof, Bahnhof.
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 Sie verstehen bei Ihrem Berater nur Bahnhof? Zeit zu Ergo zu wechseln, denn da verstehen Sie nur.
Einfach.
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 Denn wir machen Versichern einfacher.
durch digitale Services, verständliche Beratung und einfache Schadenregulierung. Einfach, weil's wichtig ist. Ergo.
Hey, Corey here. If you are listening to the back catalog of Breaking Down Collapse, thank you. Those episodes are so vital. They're so important. But I also wanted to let you know that I am now doing daily episodes. Yes, that's right. Here on the podcast, daily episodes. So if you are enjoying the back catalog, great. Please also feel free to zoom forward to the most recent episodes. Catch us daily. They are quick little episodes, and I think you'll enjoy them. Thanks.